2 Samuel 16, I'll read verses 1 through 14. When David was a little past the top of the mountain, there was Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, who met him with a couple of saddled donkeys, and on them 200 loaves of bread, 100 clusters of raisins, 100 summer fruits, and a skin of wine. The king said to Ziba, "What do you mean to do with these?" So Ziba said, "The donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink." Then the king said, "And where is your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is staying in Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" So the king said to Ziba, "Here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." And Ziba said, "I humbly bow before you, that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out, cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David. And all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, "Come out! Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue! The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, your son. So now you are caught in your own evil, because you are a bloodthirsty man." Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Please, let me go over and take off his head." But the king said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" And David said to Abishai and all his servants, "See how my son, who came from my own body, seeks my life. How much more now may this Benjamite? Let him alone, and let him curse, for so the Lord has ordered him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing this day." And as David and his men went along the road, Shimei went along the hillside opposite him and cursed as he went, threw stones at him, and kicked up dust. Now the king and all the people who were with him became weary, so they refreshed themselves there. David's journey through the valley of humiliation continues. As David left Jerusalem and left the Mount of Olives, he had two more providential meetings. Two men came to him, Ziba and Shimei. These encounters, and more particularly David's responses to his suffering, present two different temptations in regard to suffering, and two different directions to you in the valley of humiliation. I'll give you one word for each of the men. Your outline on the back has the names of Ziba, Shimei, and David. I'm going to give you one word to associate with each of those men. It'll be something of a hook that you can remember the main message of this passage, and it is this: that David's responses to suffering provide searching direction to you in the valley of humiliation. pray for discernment. We're going to begin with Ziba. And the word I'll give you is discernment. That's the hook for Ziba. Something that you can remember about this providential encounter that David has. And I'll tell you why it is discernment that is necessary. So David has left Jerusalem. He has had to flee for his life. On the very day that he heard this, he gathered up and he quickly left. Just imagine how hurried and scattered you might be if you had to get out of your house immediately. Well, David is in just the same condition. And here, as he's leaving the Mount of Olives, Ziba came with a large caravan of supplies, food to eat, wine to drink, and donkeys for the king's household to ride on. Very helpful in a time of need, isn't it? However, there is more to Ziba than meets the eye, and more to his gift than meets the eye. Who was Ziba? Well, we've met him before. He used to be a servant to King Saul and to his son Jonathan while they were living. But after Saul and Jonathan died, there was a scattering of all of Saul's household and his servants. There were some that even go into hiding. And David longed to show kindness to Saul's household for his love to Jonathan. Remember, Jonathan was his sworn friend. He had covenanted together with him to show kindness to him and to his descendants. So David says, are there any descendants left? And through Ziba, he did find one. He found Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, a man who was lame because of injury. Mephibosheth was living in something of an exile, hiding, in a sense, for fear of his life. But David, in this beautiful, lavish show of grace and love, takes Mephibosheth into his household. He adopts him into his family, so to speak. He gives him a place at his table. And he takes Ziba and sets him over Mephibosheth's house to manage all of his affairs. It's this same Ziba that now comes to David. And he comes with a wonderful gift of supplies. Remember, David is leaving in a hurry. He needs this kind of supply, food and drink for the road. And so David naturally asks, well, here is the servant. Where's the master? Where is Mephibosheth? Even thinking, where is my son, my adopted son? Where is he? You're here, but Mephibosheth is not. And so Ziba tells him this. My master is still in Jerusalem. And I hate to say this, but he said this. Now is my chance to become king again. With all of this upheaval, surely Israel is turning back to the house of Saul, and I am the house of Saul, and I will be king again. Imagine what a blow to David's heart that news must have been. Think of the lavish love that he has shown Mephibosheth. Think of the fact that he has shown such kindness to him, adopting him into his family, only to have that thrown in his face so that at this moment of upheaval, Mephibosheth would commit treason. But you need to know something. Ziba was lying. That's not what Mephibosheth said. That's not what Mephibosheth did. We'll find out later in chapter 19 that Ziba tricked Mephibosheth too. As David was fleeing from Jerusalem, all those that were allied with him went with him, and Mephibosheth wanted to go too. But he was lame. He needed help. And so his trusted servant Ziba said, "Master, you wait here. I'll go saddle the donkeys and come and get you." Didn't. He tricked Ziba and left him stranded in Jerusalem. And then he went to David with this tale about Mephibosheth that was an out-and-out lie. He slandered Ziba. Or he slandered Mephibosheth. And there's a reason he did so. It comes out in the way that David responded to Ziba's news. Remember that at this point, David didn't know of Ziba's trickery. All he knew was, here is Ziba providing for him in his need, and what he said Mephibosheth had done. Without any further information, it appears, and David concludes, that Mephibosheth has spurned David's kindness and has turned to treachery. Well, how would you feel in that situation? I imagine you'd feel betrayed. So what would you do in that situation? Maybe you would do just like David did. He turned to Ziba and said, essentially he did, "What? Really?" Mephibosheth is dead to me. And I give all of his property to you, Ziba. What a dirty trick. Ziba tricked Mephibosheth, he tricked David, and became a rich man. As time will tell, Ziba clearly is at fault here. But in this context, I want to direct your attention to David's response. And I'll make this application. David needed discernment. And there's that hook that I'm giving to you. David needed discernment because he jumped to a conclusion without hearing the whole matter. Given his distress, it's understandable that he would feel betrayed and understandable that he might come to this conclusion. Just ask again, what might you have done in this circumstance? What conclusion might you have drawn? But this is where discernment comes in. Wisdom teaches you to hear both sides of a story. Proverbs 18:17 says, "The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him." Wisdom teaches you to hear both sides. The law of God teaches you as well that to convict someone demands the evidence of two or three witnesses. There was only one in this case, and that was Ziba's word. And then the Christian virtue of love also shapes your relationship with others. And you're receiving even news this bad as Ziba was bringing. Christian virtue of love leads you to not entertain gossip. Proverbs 6. To think the best about others, to refuse to assume to know the motives of others. 1 Corinthians 13. And to cover over an offense rather than spreading it around. Proverbs 17. David did not do this. David did not exercise discernment This is the valley of humiliation, remember. And there's some understanding of David being taken in by the generosity of Ziba and having the wool pulled over his eyes so that he neglected to follow through to find out about his adopted son that he loved. He needed discernment. And it provides a searching direction to you today. Gordon Keddy, in his commentary on this passage, says, "How much pain and strife would be avoided in our churches were we to take this biblical principle seriously." Pray for discernment. Pray that you would not be quick to jump to conclusions without hearing the other side of a story. Hear the whole matter out first. Pray for God's grace to replace a temptation, the temptation to assume the motives of others as if you knew what they were thinking and what they were going through and could detail exactly why they did what they did. When the law of love teaches you not to assume. See, it is so easy in that valley of humiliation. You don't even have to be in the valley of humiliation to have glasses colored by your own selfish desires. See things and interpret things through your own lens. And then to condemn those around you without ever hearing from them at all. You need discernment. So what about Shimei? What word shall I give to Shimei? Well, here's a word to provide a hook for Shimei. Discernment. I hope you can remember that one as well. It's the same word in case you missed it. Discernment. Shimei is another one from Saul's extended family, either a distant relative or someone who served in his household. He, too, takes advantage of Absalom's rebellion to push his cause. Instead of trying to defraud David like Ziba did, Shimei came to heap curses on David. Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul. You have reigned in his place, and he is judging you today for this. It is your evil that is coming back on your head, you bloodthirsty man. And as he hurled insults, he also threw rocks at him. Now, like with Ziba, with Shimei, you need to know a couple of things. I remind you of the history. This is some 30 years after Saul and Jonathan's death, and after David became king. I can barely remember what I was doing 30 years ago. Here's a math problem for all of the school students in the room. What year was it 30 years ago? This is 2024. That makes it 1994. Is that right? Is my math right? Okay. What were you doing in 1994? And some of you weren't even born. Shimei remembered and had nursed a bitterness over what had happened 30 years ago. Not only that, but he hated and blamed David for Saul's death and Saul's family, and concluded that Absalom's rebellion could be directly tied to the judgment of God for the death of King Saul and Jonathan. But let's just set the history straight. David didn't kill Saul. He didn't kill Jonathan. That was the Philistines. In fact, David had defended Saul over and over and over again. He had restrained the hands of his own soldiers who wanted to take Saul out. On two occasions, they had perfect opportunities to do that. And David said, "No, I will not, and you will not lift up your hands against the Lord's anointed." David was not guilty of this sin. Now, also add that Shimei rushed to judgment, much like David did with Mephibosheth. Shimei rushed to judgment. He had his facts wrong, but then Shimei assumed to know the mind of God. When he assigned David's suffering to the death of Saul and Jonathan, he was declaring, "This is why this is happening. God is judging you for killing Saul and Jonathan." To go on to David in just a moment, but let me just observe, this is what happens when bitterness is rooted in your heart. It grows up to bear bitter fruit. It too has the tendency to color the vision of the world around you and to come to conclusions based on the color of the glasses that you are wearing. But I'm focusing on David. And in the notes, I've separated David out here because I want to give you another hook here. I want to give you another hook to remember David's response. I've given you his response to Ziba, but I'll give you another one-word hook for David. And you know what it is? It's discernment. It is discernment. Now, David could have taken another option. Joab's brother Abishai gives him an out, gives him a simple answer. "My lord the king, this guy doesn't deserve to live. Let me go take his head off." But David forbade Abishai from killing Shimei and forbade him and all of his men to quiet the cursing of Shimei. I want to give you two reasons that demonstrate David's discernment. Here, where he had failed with Ziba, I'm going to say that David fulfilled the gospel and godly practice of discernment. The first reason was that Absalom's rebellion against David was indeed God's judgment against David. And David knew it. Not for the reasons that Shimei gave. Shimei had rushed to judgment. He assigned the motive and the reason and assumed to know God's will in this and was assigning it to the fall of Saul and his house. But David knew that he had indeed sinned. And he had the advantage of the revealed word of God. Nathan the prophet had come to him and had confronted him with the sin with Bathsheba, a confrontation that we saw had pierced David's heart. He knew that what Nathan said was true. "I have sinned against God." And he confessed that sin. And in God's mercy, God forgave David. David had the blessing of the revealed will of God in this too. Nathan said, "The Lord has forgiven you." But there will be consequences. I keep citing this because we're right in the middle of what I'm calling this valley of humiliation, the consequences for David's sins. And Nathan had told him, "The sword will not depart from your household. Trouble will arise from your very own house." So David, out of humility, could discern that God was with him in this valley of humiliation. And he stopped Abishai. He showed mercy on Shimei. "Let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" In your valley of humiliation, and in mine, I found that one of the burning questions is, why? Why is this happening, God? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to this brother or sister? We want to know why. And David's discernment and the law of wisdom, the law of God, the law of love should guide us here, to cause you to pause when answering the question, why is this happening? And it should especially give you pause when you see others suffer. Do you know the whole matter? Do you know the mind of God? Will you sit in judgment on the one who is suffering? Will you be like Job's friends who come to him and say, "You're suffering because you have sinned. And boy, must you have sinned big because your suffering is so big." Let discernment lead you to pause and out of love to show mercy to those who are under a period of suffering in their lives. Pray for discernment. Pray for humility, grace, and mercy towards those who are suffering. And when you suffer, pray for discernment. Recognize that it is appropriate to ask why. And it's even appropriate to ask, "Is this because I have sinned?" Because it may be. It isn't always. There's suffering in this life because of living in a fallen world. A classic proof of this is Jesus' response to the disciples about the man born blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus says neither. So it's not always the case that your suffering is directly related to a specific sin that you have done. But it may be. And discernment teaches you to ask God this. David does this. Verse 11, "Look, my own son is trying to kill me. Let this Benjamite go." And he adds, "It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me good for the cursing of this day. What he is praying for is for mercy. Remember, he knows that there is consequence that is following him. And he knows that there is responsibility that is being played out in his house and in the kingdom of God that's directly related to his failures, to his sins. And he prays for mercy. And in this valley of humiliation, discernment taught David to cast himself on the Lord God for mercy. David could say more than this may be God's judgment, because he knew it was, but he could also say by faith, I have sinned. God, be merciful to me. And God, lead me through this valley of humiliation. May I see the other side. May I see the mercy that you show. In David's case, we have the benefit of other scriptures that he wrote. Psalm 119, 71. It's good for me that I had been afflicted. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Psalm 32, 3 and 4. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of the summer. Goes on then to reflect on the deliverance that God gave, but he says it was God's hand that was heavy upon him. May be that the Lord will repay me, I will suggest for David's words, repay me good for Shimei's cursing this day. How? This may be my father's loving, correcting hand upon me. So we'll apply this again to us. Pray for discernment. Ask him for this. Lord, if I have sinned, show me. Show me so that I may repent. Show me so that I may be right with you, with those that I have wronged. Ask God for discernment. As you do so looking to Jesus, Son of David, Jesus Christ, also left Jerusalem and crossed the Kidron Brook, like I described last week. David walked the same path, maybe literally walked the same path. And Jesus crossed the Kidron. He went up Mount Olives, weeping, crying out to the Lord. There he prayed, asking for God's direction, asking for God's will to be done. That's a prayer for discernment, and for knowing and submitting to what the Father had for him to do. And it led him through the deepest valley of humiliation ever. Because from the Mount of Olives, he was arrested. He was falsely accused. The leaders erected an illegal trial and brought slanderous charges against him. And they heaped insults on him. Slapped him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They forced him to take up his cross and carry it to the place where he was crucified. not for any sins of his, but for yours. Thanks be to God that Jesus Christ walked through the valley of humiliation, knowing and submitting to the will of his Father. So my prayer for you in the valley of humiliation, that you would look to Jesus, that you would find the wisdom of God, the law of God, the love of God that leads you to be discerning as you face the insults that are hurled against you. Pray for discernment. Let's do so now. Lord God, we do bow before you and humbly ask that you would show us your way. Help us to know your will and help us to submit to it. God, forgive us for thinking that we can sit in judgment on all others. Instead, O Lord, I pray that you would give us humility. Help us to recognize that, that your ways are mysterious. God, give us mercy as we come along others in their valley of humiliation. And help us, O Lord, in our own valleys. Help us to know that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has walked before us, walked with us. We are united to him. And that the fact that we are crucified with Christ means that we are also raised with him. And that you will one day vindicate all of your children, all of the works of your hands. You'll show us your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. David wrote Psalm 3 in the context of this very valley of humiliation. Very honest about the troubles he faced, but it also looks beyond them to God who is our Savior. Psalm 3, selection B, please stand to sing.